Chapter 3. Tora redirects the conversation gracefully a dozen times more. I finally find a topic that allows us some mutual peace. I talk about budgets, and the Helma Council, and Tora first tries to listen, and then tries to pretend to listen, and it's almost like an ordinary day. After dinner, we test the limitations of my need to be near people. We find that I can bear being placed in a wall of silence as long as I am not also confined, but that being in the same room is not enough. I must perceive the presence of another person, and perceive them to be within earshot. I speculate that because I am magic null myself, the wall of silence doesn't register as part of the calculus for whatever this compulsion is, and I agree that they should place it around me for the night with a condition from Tor that he will beware if I say his name.
"Any permutation of my name,"
he says. Ludwig arrives back to guard us, and even allows himself to darken slightly at my helpless babbling of how glad I am to see him, always, how safe I feel with him. Tor exhorts him to move my cot closer to the imperial bed, and remove the privacy curtain Konju had provided.
"He needs to perceive me,"
he says, as if I could ever not be aware of how near he is, but I don't object as my bedding is drawn to a dozen odd paces distant, and then Tor and Konju vanish to the side room to change to his night garments, and I awkwardly strip to my undergarments, and then don the three layers of absurdly luxurious sleep clothes that have somehow been procured for me. Ludwig is nearby to prevent the compulsion from driving me wild again, positioned so he can hear me and see into the changing room where Tor is undressing. "Oh," Konju says when they reemerge, and bustles to me to correct the placement of my overrobe. "Where did you get night clothes in my size?"
"You really don't want to know," he says after a moment.
"There's an entire wardrobe for the Emperor's hypothetical bed companions,"
Tor says, and I watch Konju catch himself en route to outright glaring at him, and then glare at me instead for narrating that catch. "Ah," I say, blushing fiercely. This is not what I have ever imagined an imperial concubine wearing, but then I don't suppose I have spent much time imagining that at all, so... And then we are each crawling into bed, Konju smoothing the edges of the light blankets over each of us and extinguishing the lights, and presumably I am placed inside a wall of silence, and all goes quiet, the air suddenly still and close. Konju leaves, and Ludwig retreats to the door, and I lie awake and stare at the intricate ceiling and talk to myself about nothing in particular until... "Tor," I whisper, and I do not have the magic to feel the wall drop, but I can sense his attention for several seconds before he answers.
"Yes, Kip?"
"It's about Fitzroy Angersaw." The sound of his sigh, soft and unhappy, makes me want to curl up and hide myself in the blankets.
"I know,"
he says.
"I know, Kip. I know that I owe you more, but I... It won't help. It will only hurt me. He cannot be free. Not yet. Can you let me be selfish about this? Please?"
"Yes," I say. "Yes, I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt you."
"I know."
"How can I help?"
"Oh, Kip."
And he is so clearly near to tears that I find myself starting out of bed for a moment before I realize what I'm doing. I sit back, heavy, defeated. He pulls back the canopy, and the lion eyes peer out, unmistakable even in the near-total darkness. It takes me a moment to realize that I'm being issued an invitation, and that he is not going to make it any clearer than this. I slide out of bed and cross the ocean of the dozen feet between the beds. He slides back and makes room for me. Crossing the threshold is not as difficult as it should be. A mage light blooms to life over our heads, warm and dim. Tor is almost as far away as he can be without being flattened against the far bed curtain, eyeing me with a wariness strikingly reminiscent of the first recipients of the stipend, of the men and women in line to inquire about the Intrigan estates, any of the hundreds of our people I have seen in such positions. Not quite daring to allow themselves hope, and trying not to be hostile or resentful, trying to see what this really is. I don't know the answer. "I don't know," I say. "I'm not... I just...
Let me help you. His posture loosened slightly.
I don't know either,
he admits.
I don't know how. I just want you closer.
I will come as close as you wish, I say. I would touch you, if you wanted. Skin to skin. I would bear the proof of that gladly, Tor. He closes his eyes and shakes his head, adamant enough that I know he is not speaking merely from duty.
After the ceremonies,
he says.
Please, Kip, don't let me hurt you.
You couldn't hurt me. It wouldn't.
Don't.
I won't. I shuffle a bit closer on the bed. I promise. But let me do something. For a moment, he is very still.
You said,
he whispers, strangled.
Earlier, you said,
I could hold you if you were beneath the coverlet and I was atop. I breathe carefully, as if I might, with an exhale, overbalance him from whatever terrible, precarious ledge he is standing on. Would you like that? His eyes flicker towards the door, where Ludwig is standing guard, and back to me.
Yes,
he says, quietly.
Would you?
Yes, I say, and something in his demeanor changes. He looks, suddenly, wonderfully, relieved. Some yoke he has been carrying released.
All right,
he says.
How should I?
Get under the covers first. You'll feel safer. He does, and he does. It's so clear. I scoot back and consider. He's snuggled in up to his chin, looking cozy in a way I've never imagined him. Come towards me, and then turn your back. Where did we put the angora? He blinks, and then drags it out from beneath the sheets. It's rumpled. When I take it, I can feel the warmth, feel that he's been holding it. Tor, I say, my throat tight. Here, I want to make this like a hood for you. Wrap it around your head and ears so that I don't touch you by mistake. He straightens, drapes it around his head and shoulders like a shawl, and gathers it with one hand under his chin, then carefully settles back beneath the bedding and turns his back to me. I scoot closer and pat around him to better see the shape of how he's curled up. He flinches, but shakes his head when I pull back.
Just not used to... It's fine. It's safe.
I try to be gentler, telegraphing my movements. I tuck my knees into the hollow behind his. I curve in against his back, settling one arm over his hip. And finally, Oh, gods. I nuzzle in behind his ear, press my face into the soft angora.
It actually helps quite a bit to have you narrating,
he whispers.
Less room for surprise. I would tell you to keep doing it, but you can't really help whether you are or aren't, can you?
I can a little bit, I tell him. But it's strange. I'm not fully aware of it. The bits that I'm not saying on purpose, it's just automatic.
Are you comfortable?
Unbelievably. I'm probably going to be cold again before long, but right now it's hard to imagine. You don't feel too restrained? That's a stupid question. He laughs, a delightful quiver beneath my arm.
Not at all. You could lie beneath the top layer, or I could make it warmer, if you prefer.
Beneath the top layer means closer to Tor, my mind informs me. I can feel my lips moving against the blanket and also informing him.
Come on, then,
he says, and I peel back the fluffy coverlet and wriggle back to conform the front of my body to the back of Tor's. Feeling him this way is surreal. His breath is long and even, studiously so. But especially now, with that much less downy bed coverings between us, I can feel his heart thumping, quicker than mine.
Cap,
he whispers. Yes?
My magic is... You remember how it was, in my study. If something like that happens again, if it's frightening, or you can't sleep, you can tell me.
I don't think that will be a problem, I say. I told you, it was beautiful. You were beautiful. Maybe we can do this again after the taboos. The blankets protect us, but I don't like not being able to see him.
I know, he murmurs. After the ceremonies, after the taboos.
He sighs and leans back just slightly, bending willowy into my body.
I shouldn't have let you in. I shouldn't have...
You shouldn't hide from me, Tor. Not from me.
You shouldn't overestimate my self-control. This is dangerous for you, Kip. And it was cruel of me to put Ludwig in this position. He knows better than anyone the risk I am exposing you to by having you so close.
Ludwig trusts you. I trust you. If you reach for me, I will be reaching back.
I can't.
I know.
I thought it would be... Every time, I think that having you closer will make it easier. But it's not. It's not enough for me, Kip.
I almost coil away, pull away and curl up into myself. Oh, I sigh, trying to be brave and failing, hearing my shameful quaver. I'm sorry. If you truly... I can go. I don't want to be hurting you. I feel sick, dizzy. Everything I'm saying is true. It can't not be true, but... God, not enough. He breathes in sharply and pulls back from me, turning to face me.
Stop it,
he says sharply.
I'm not telling you to go. I'm not saying you aren't enough. I'm trying to say, I want to be closer. I'm so happy, Kip. So happy to have you close, to have you here. Even though it's because you're in danger, even though you're disinhibited, and a better man would be afraid of taking advantage of that, and even so, I want more.
His gaze burns into mine through the dark. He flinches back, away. Not literally, Tor, I say, slightly peevish. Gods, the drama. And that is enough to win him back, his eyes stealing back to me, to my face. We are both quiet for a handful of seconds.
I cannot decide if it's better to look at your face,
Tor whispers,
or to let you hold me.
Both, I say, and reach out, find his arms, layers of bedding still between us, trace down to his hands, and grip them together in mine. We are quiet for a while more, actually quiet, even our breath. Something of this having burned everything from my head. And then I say, you don't have to worry about taking advantage. I don't worship you.
I know, he murmurs. But I do have to worry because you are in my bed, Kip. I've already thought several times today. Perhaps I was wrong, and whatever is on you is contagious, because I should not be so foolish.
It's not foolish, I say.
I used to call myself a fool,
he says, dreamy.
I used to revel in it, the ability to define myself, to be someone other than this.
I know the sweeping gesture he would make if we were standing. I'm grateful he cannot make it now, because it is so hard to see that self-abnegation coming from him. His lips quirk into a small, enigmatic smile.
Thank you. You have always believed that there was more to me than Artur and Damara.
That is an odd way to phrase it, but I don't let myself get caught in that. Since the first day I met you, yes, I say. Maybe even before, since I first saw your portrait. When I was 22, 23, when would it have been? It was just after you came to the throne. That first portrait. I saw it, and I knew you were the brightest star of my Kaea, my star path. I knew it was coming to you. I knew that I wanted to stand at your side.
And here you are.
I didn't know that I wanted to lie in your bed. He laughs at that, his grin wonderfully crooked.
Oh, my dear,
he says.
I didn't let myself know for a very, very long time.
When did you know? I don't mean to ask, but I wonder, so I cannot help myself.
Tor looks rueful. If there was any doubt, he says, the dance in the throne room did away with it. But I had an idea sooner than that. After the moon, I woke up to myself, stopped being able to hold myself so thoroughly apart from my body. And after we came back, I noticed that my heart quickened when I heard your voice, or saw your profile.
He sees something in my face, and his expression starts to shudder, and I squeeze his hand and shake my head.
What about you?
He asks. I still haven't let myself know, I say, surprising myself. But I have noticed you for a long time in ways I do not notice anyone else. Your hands, your neck. When you went swimming at Navikiani the first time and came up out of the water, I could almost have worshipped you then. I'm talking. I don't pay attention to bodies, normally, attraction, and I've never noticed any other men, so I don't have a framework for whatever it is that stirs me about you. He exhales sharply.
We should stop, he whispers. I should not have asked that. I should not.
Why?
I have not shared a bed in 1,000 years,
he says.
I have not talked about these things.
Oh, I recognize, suddenly, the flavor of his discomposure. His skin is too dark to show his flesh, but I know it is present. He pulls his hands away, turns his back to me again, and pulls the angora tight to hide his face. I'm sorry, I say. I didn't think.
You assumed I had more self-control than a schoolboy,
Tor says scathingly over one shoulder. I didn't think anything of your self-control. I wince, but it's true. Tor, please don't be upset with me. I didn't mean to discompose you.
Discompose me,
he says, somewhat incredulous.
That is a very polite way to say it, I suppose, if you...
He stops himself and sighs.
I'm not upset with you, Kip. None of this is your fault in the slightest. I've put you in a series of impossible situations.
That has always been the nature of our relationship, my lord, I say. It is also not your fault that we have finally found the tower I cannot scale for you. Gods, as if he is Aurora and I am Tenebra. I am absurd. He goes still, and then laughs softly.
It's true, though,
he says.
I've always managed to do what I thought impossible. Perhaps, in some distant corner of my heart, I believe this would be no exception.
I can hold you, I say, feeling somewhat mulish on this score. I can be here with you, if you wish. I can touch you through the covers. Perhaps I can wake you up to yourself, as the moon did.
Oh, I am very awake,
he murmurs.
Tell me. Would you like that? Would you take pleasure in it for yourself?
I'm grateful then for the serum, because I say yes before I can think, before I can doubt. I don't think of pleasure for myself, usually, but I am aroused by thinking of it.
Are you?
He says, and finally turns back towards me, his eyes bright and dancing.
I'm sorry. I should be clear. I'm not going to indulge any more than holding you while you are disinhibited.
I flush, and the truth serum allows me the clarity of understanding my response to this is disappointment.
Oh, Kip, should I be insulted that you didn't know that instinctively? I could not risk taking advantage. Surely you understand that.
I do, but, selfishly, I wish you would reconsider. I worry that by the time we cure this, you may change your mind, or I may lack the courage to be as good as you deserve.
I will never change my mind, my dear, and you should never doubt your own courage. I dare say I will find ways to inspire you.
I am quite sure I blush dark at that. He smiles, one corner of his lips quirking. He's so tirelessly lovely when he smiles that way.
Cap, he murmurs. I'm half afraid to wake and find that I've dreamt to die. And half afraid that I'm so distracted by your revelations that I'm missing something else staring me right in the face, because this is really the perfect distraction. You don't suppose that Kanju might have poisoned you out of benevolence?
Kanju is resourceful, but not particularly cunning. I really do think it's most likely to be the Orinatha. But I've never been clear exactly how much they seem to see me as a threat. I still don't understand why they brought Ludvig to me. To torment me, perhaps. Wave my uselessness in front of my face.
That turned out poorly for them.
And this is retribution.
I hope you're wrong,
Tor says. So do I. There are many other options. I have been skilled at making enemies, I'm afraid.
I'll burn them to the ground,
he murmurs seriously. I've often thought the same when something was vexing you, I admit. Admittedly, you have the power to actually do so, so perhaps I should be asking you to be merciful.
To whomever did this to you?
If I make it out the other side, as you said earlier, I offer gently, I don't believe you regret this. I slide back towards him and wrap an arm around his waist. He tenses, and then sighs the tension away.
I don't,
he murmurs.
Kip,
if your self-control becomes a problem for you, let me know. I can't not say it. I'm literally incapable of not saying it, but I manage, oh gods, before adding, or you could just start touching yourself, and I would get the idea. He snorts, or gives some small implosive sound.
You are a menace like this,
he says, eyes glittering.
Are you trying to persuade me? I don't need the encouragement, believe me.
Yes. I don't mean to disrespect the boundary you drew, I add quickly, but I am disinhibited. I want what I want.
And that is?
You. He swallows hard, visibly, his throat bobbing.
Kip,
he says. Tor. He shifts one shoulder back, making room for his hand to lift between us, his palm pressing against my chest.
Do you know what you do to me?
He whispers. Probably not, I say. But if you want to tell me, I'll listen. And I'll like it, I think. He groans softly and turns his face into the blanket.
You're impossible,
he says, muffled.
But I am as stubborn as you are, my dear, and my mind is made up. Hold me and go to sleep.
I'll hold you and stay up all night, I answer. I want to memorize you. It's so good to have you close. But I do sleep, much sooner than I had thought, almost as soon as his breath evens out and his fingers curl against my chest.